Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. The Lord is a great God. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Harden not your hearts.
Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So may I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's that time of year again, and the primulas are queuing up on the table at the back of church for you to take away with them, with you. So it must be Mothering Sunday, or Refreshment Sunday, also the fourth Sunday of Lent, as Father Paul has pointed out, around about halfway through the season. Just about the shortest gospel reading, probably is the shortest gospel reading in the entire three-year cycle of readings. And you might think that provides relief for the preacher, but actually can be a bit complicated at times, the fewer the words. Anyway, this Sunday in Lent, as I said, a refreshment Sunday, a day to relax the Lenten feast and an opportunity, for example, more so in times gone by perhaps, for families to reunite, particularly where members might have been working away at a distance, for children to visit their mothers. I went over to Stafford yesterday with something from the flower barrow in the square. So here we are then. The gospel is actually the presentation gospel of Jesus in the temple from St. Luke. And we celebrated this a few weeks ago, actually, at the Feast of the Presentation, or Candlemas, as we looked away from Christmas and started to look towards Easter. So there's another reminder here. Simeon and Anna have waited patiently in the temple for the promised Saviour, and recognize God's fulfillment, the fulfillment of God's promises in Jesus, the boy who arrives with his parents. Mary is promised, though, that a sword will pierce her heart. So even at what looks like that moment of fulfillment, of completing of God's promises, there is also alongside it the promise of pain and suffering, a foreshadowing of the cross some 30-odd years later. As Father Paul has said, we are reminded today, actually, that for some, Mothering Sunday is a difficult celebration. It isn't an easy or a joyous one for all of us sitting here in church today. And, as he pointed out, for many different kinds of reasons. It is, therefore, perhaps today a cause of your endurance, a day to feel old wounds tingling, as it were. Many of us can and should be thankful for our mums today. But some are feeling pain as they recollect the passing, perhaps, of their own mother, or sometimes often all too soon. There are people in this congregation who've had that experience. So it feels like in their lives there'll always be this really important piece missing, and they'll feel it deeply on a day-to-day basis. All of this is a reminder that there is suffering at the heart of our loving. As I've said before from this place, there can always be suffering without love. Often pointless and brutal, and we see it every day in our world. But there is never love without suffering. Love by its very nature makes us vulnerable to pain. A parent can only be as happy as their least happy child, not my saying, but one you'll have heard many times from elsewhere. But how true is that? And you'll know it to be so if you are a parent yourselves. So a sword would pierce Mary's heart, and we can see it in one of the stations of the cross hanging on our pillars, actually. We can see that Jesus, I forget which station it is, I think it's over there somewhere, is handing John, the beloved disciple, to Mary, and Mary to the beloved disciple. They're standing at the foot of the cross, that place of darkness and pain, and Jesus is entrusting those two closest to him to each other. There's a lot we can make of that station. I don't particularly intend to do that today, other than to say that it highlights the importance of our relationships in the face of our pain and sorrow. So in this darkest of all moments, when Jesus is hanging on the cross, he needs them to know that they are loved by him and that he wants the best for them into the future. So it's a kind of micro-gospel, if you will, a picture, an icon, a representation of God's concern for all of us and his desire for all of us to know that we too are loved. It's a representation of what we should be to each other as church. So we need those key relationships at the heart of our lives. One or two, perhaps, three or four healthy, loving relationships are enough actually to get us through life and enough to help us to face those times of challenge and pain. Treasure them, whoever they are in your life. Treasure those people. They are so important, especially when we are manipulated or even abused in some way. God, in her very essence, is in relationship with us. Word chosen carefully there. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, creating, redeeming, sustaining, all three together, unity in diversity, God in relationship, immediate, intimate for us, and yet at the same time other, mysterious, with us but beyond us too. This God, known and yet to be known, works for the best in us. Works with us to obtain the best. One of the best of human parables or pictures is that of a loving mother bringing forth new life. A mother in their motherliness describes our vocation as church to hold, to nurture, to bring forth new life, and to care and bring life to others too. The church is to be motherly in her mission of consolation, even in the face of the suffering that always accompanies love. And St. Paul reminds us in the first reading from his letter to the Corinthians that that consolation is there for us even in the midst of our pain. Like Mary and John at the foot of the cross, we are, as it were, to be handed over to each other, to give love, to care, to make whole, to hold up, to help up as blind beggars leading each other looking for bread. We are made for each other, to be motherly fathers and fatherly mothers, stretcher bearers, broad shoulders to cry on. This is our mission and our vocation as church. Now, Mothering Sunday, and particularly Mother's Day, can feel a bit sentimental at times, perhaps even like a duty or responsibility. We drag ourselves off to Card Factory, or we don't in my case because I got a freebie. It's all of these things are important, actually, days of celebration, highlights, days when we can give thanks for our mothers. Aware of the preciousness of this, I've become particularly, more acutely aware of it as my mum has reached her 90th year. So in September, she'll get to be 90. Not something she's particularly looking forward to, I don't think, actually. But anyway, never mind. But that, I think, makes me even more aware of the fragility of life and the fact that, of course, when she finally passes on, I will be an orphan in this world. I'm not looking for sympathy, by the way, this morning. I'm just simply saying that's a statement of fact, yes. But, you know, it's a really sobering thought, and I know many of you have been through that yourselves at various different points. So I'm aware that it's not a relationship I'm going to have forever. But whatever kind of relationship it has been at times, and I must say it's been a very good one, it's been precious. And I'm reminded that the passage of time is not something that we should take lightly where our mothers, our parents are concerned. It is critically important to our well-being. And we lose sight of this, of course, at our peril. And likewise, when we think of the Trinity, the relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit, it's critically important to our well-being as church, even though at times, as I've said, we struggle to understand it. It's like that, though, with many of our key human relationships. We know and we understand, at least to some degree, the critical importance they have in our lives. But sometimes it's hard to put that into words. But I return to what we hear at the beginning of the Bible, that we were not made to be alone. The reality is that if we're doing church well, then we will never feel finally and fully alone, and hopefully we'll be aware that God is with us, even at those darkest times, in his divine consolation. We can stand at the foot of the cross, and even in those darkest times of challenge, we can know that we are home, that we are in the place where God needs us to be and intends us to be. So Mothering Sunday for me, I think, is another reminder that we need each other and that we can only thrive if we acknowledge that need and recognize that even in the deepest suffering, that need is there, and that I hope, my hope for this Mothering Sunday and for every Mothering Sunday and every day for you is that even in your darkest times, you can find that hope and divine consolation. Amen.